And then I started finding myself, because there are so many opportunities coming your way, right? And you're kind of just, you're still kind of in that limbo of like, hey, what's my passion? What's my purpose? What am I going to do? Right? And I'm so interested in different things that I started to dive into different subjects or different industries. And I noticed I would just try it and then I would never like follow up or finish with it. And that's where I came to a point, I guess there was like an interesting transition there where I finally told myself, you know what? You need to really start focusing. You've been so hung up on how to flip and how to profit, and you can't stay in one thing. You need to really like dig deep and find like, what are you good at? And that's where I love to preach a lot. A lot of people waste time, and Eugene, this is probably vomiting my words. Eugene knows this, but this is where a lot of people fall into a pit. They're over here waiting, like, this is my passion and my purpose, or they don't know it, right? And they're trying to figure that shit out, when what they should be doing is actually honing in on their skills, try to drive that into like an industry or, you know, a different spectrum and build it from there. And eventually that's probably going to lead to another opportunity or a different lane or a different channel, you know?
Welcome back to the Dedication to Excellence podcast. Today's guest is none other than EJ Cruz for episode 9. This man has developed one of the best and top rated podcasts out there, The Parables. If you haven't checked it out yet, write that down. We actually have a special announcement here at the end of this podcast, so make sure to stay till the end. This man is dropping some amazing knowledge on podcasts, on life, on finance, all of the above. This is going to be one for the records, and I can't wait to reveal what's at the end. Again, if you have not subscribed, reviewed, rated, or shared with a couple friends and that neighbor like in the last episode, make sure to do that. We only grow by your generosity. We don't run any specific ads. We are just on a mission to get this message out to the world and help you apply tangible and actionable steps into your own life and business.
And we are biggity back in the building with another episode of the Dedication, that was super corny, of the Dedication to Excellence podcast. I'm your host, Eugene Tamampos, on Instagram at Eugenius underscore Eugenius, alongside my right-hand man, my brother, my co-host, Dustin Reyna at Dustin Reyna. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing good. I actually got a full 8 hours of sleep with the baby last night, even with midnight.
We might have to unpack that later. I'm sure a lot of parents listening in would love to learn how that's possible.
Right. I feel like I got too much energy right now.
We'll save that for a Your and I's episode that we are going to be dropping very soon, so be on the lookout. But for those of you listening for the first time, the purpose of this podcast is to not just inspire and motivate, but to give you real actionable steps and operational strategies from high achievers who have actually done the things we'll be discussing with them. Because once you're excited, folks, guess what? You actually got to go and do some shit. Crazy thought, I know. So today we have a very, very special episode because our guest, you know, normally I have to research our guest, but the guest we have tonight, this dude is family right here. I actually lived with him when I moved down to Southern California in the beginning of the year. And I'm going to share that story because I think it's a pretty cool one. But I can honestly say, if it wasn't for meeting this gentleman on my journey, this podcast probably would not even be a reality right now. So owe this gentleman a debt of gratitude. But yeah, anyway, I moved down to Southern California. And of course, when I was down there, our good friend Billy Anderson, who you might remember from episode 1, says, hey, Eugene, I know you're down in SoCal now. I got a homie you got to meet. He's a podcaster. He knows everybody. Real cool dude. I'm about to be on his show. Let's all grab dinner. So that's when I meet EJ Cruz. And it just so happened I was on the last week of my lease. So a week after meeting EJ, I was going to be homeless. And in meeting EJ, I learned that he lived in a beautiful home with a beautiful wife, and it was a 6-bedroom home, and there was only like 2 of them. So I did the math and I said, hey, they might have room for one more. So I asked him after that first dinner. I said, yo, man, I hear you got a house. I'm about to not have a house. Hey, can I move in? And he says to me, well, actually, and EJ, you know, you could tell your version of the story, but this is what I remember. He says to me, yeah, we was actually, you know, kind of thinking about maybe bringing in a roommate. So, yeah, let me talk to my wife about it. And long story short, a week later, I move in. So our relationship escalated pretty quickly. I got to see firsthand just a man on his grind for his family, the work he put in on his podcast. Eventually, we actually then became business partners with Mylett Management Group. EJ here works very close with Ed Mylett, who a lot of you listeners might know. Just a very connected, well-respected dude on an absolute tear. And my family loves him because he's also Filipino and he became a nurse, which is the goal of every Filipino. So he's just killing it in all regards. It's probably the longest intro I've ever done. But like I said, my bro here is family, Mr. EJ Cruz, sir. Welcome to the Dedication to Excellence podcast.
Man, Eugene, Dustin, I appreciate you for having me on. As I said, off camera and off recording, I would love any day of the week to be a guest compared to a host. You know what I'm saying? But dude, I got to say this before we even begin. Man, you guys are naturals, man. I love it. I absolutely love this. I live for this. I'm always very, very observant because, you know, this is my bread and butter. So I'm very, very observant. No pressure, right? But I'm very, very observant on how people operate their podcasts. And it's just, it's lovely, man. I love it. And the fact that it's very free flowing and just natural, it's not very, I could really tell this is not very scripted or anything like that. It's just going to bring out a lot of value and a lot of joy out of this podcast, this episode. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners are going to enjoy it. So I'm very honored. And thank you guys for thinking of me to be on it.
I feel like Michael Jordan just told me I have a nice jump shot. That felt really good, EJ. Appreciate you, brother. So we are definitely going to get into the podcast, and because that's what you're mostly known for. And as of late, the financial services game, because you've been tearing that up too. But before we get to all that, man, what's the behind the scenes story, which I kind of know. So I'm going to ask you to tell it, and then I'm going to pull out the ratchet parts of it, because I do know there are some ratchet parts of it. So EJ, tell us about the upbringing, man.
The upbringing? Okay. Yeah. So I always like to start off, especially when it comes to my story, that I feel like there was nothing very special about it, to the sense that there was no story. Like, you know, I wasn't homeless, right? I didn't, you know, come from very, very hard, difficult beginnings. I will say that, you know, my parents immigrated here from the Philippines. They worked their butt offs, right? And they basically gave their youngest child, right, everything that they wanted to. Right. They always provided for me. And that's something that was instilled in me in regards to, they gave me everything that I needed and I wanted out of love. But at the same time, they've been able, and I don't know how they were able to. And hopefully I can instill this in my kids to still not everything is given to you right for free. Mm. You still got to work your ass off. So even though I was very gifted with lots of different things, and I don't like using the word privilege, but I just had more things than other kids, right? I was still in, you know, given that very hard work, grinding, you know, mindset. Like, nothing's given to you for free, like I said. And so you know, grew up here in Southern California in the place called in the Empire, which is not too far from LA. And you know, growing up, I guess you could say, if we want to talk about like my entrepreneurial background, you know, I wasn't the guy who set up like a lemonade stand or anything like that, but I had some very interesting ways of how to flip things. I've always been that type of guy to look at something and see how I could flip it for profit. Mm-hmm. So to give you some examples, right? And then now this is going to kind of like speak on our age a little bit. Anything from Pogs to Pokemon cards, to Bubblicious bubble gum. I used to sell the individual pieces that could come up like 50 cents, right? I used to, you know, anything. When we would have like book fairs, I would like flip a book from drawings. Like, you literally name it, right? And it's just kind of crazy. I look back and I know like a lot of people grew up harder than I did, but it was like almost as if like that was my drug dealing game, right?
Flipping. So you're doing it for just fun.
Yeah, and I don't know why, like I found it so amusing, like, you know, I was so drawn to it. It's just like, yeah, exactly what you said. I just did it for fun. Whatever was hot, right, or whatever I thought that could be of value and I could flip, like, I'd probably do it, right?
I would make a steal on Pokemon cards back in the day. Not like today, though, like 30K for a Charizard. Yeah.
Dude, but imagine if you still had those, right? And it's crazy. It makes me upset because I used to have a binder with all my Pokemon cards. And I think I got rid of it like 5 years ago or 3 years ago, something like that. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, crap, I didn't have a Charizard card, but I had like some other ones that were pretty, I'm sure, going to be pretty valuable in the future, yeah. Right? So anyway, you know, just growing up, I mean, and then I guess with like parenting, I almost felt like my parents were polar opposite. My mom was like the more comforting, more loving, empathetic type. And my dad, he loved me so much, but he just showed it in a different way, right? And Eugene, I know you could relate to this a little bit. You know, they just had a different way of showing their love, right? He was very tough on me. You know, you guys are, I'm sure, I know Eugene's a hooper, right? But when I used to hoop, you know, back then, like to give you an example, you know, I obviously wasn't the most talented, but something along the lines of like, you know, my dad would always put me down, right? And not to say, or not put me down, let me rephrase that, more challenge me. Like, hey, how come you're not like that kid who's scoring a lot? How come you're not pulling the rebounds like he has, right? And it used to drive me nuts. It always make me cry. And him and my mom would always butt heads because of the way he would do it, right? Just like the way he would execute like that challenge, right? And actually that made me and him actually have a not so great, like good relationship, but not like the best, I guess, UK, I guess you could say. And so again, you know, growing up, you know, it's just, I would hustle like literally anything, right? I started getting into Jordans and sneakers and you name it, right? And so and now you want to talk about, I guess, you know, when you mentioned the background in sales and e-com, I actually did start flipping things on eBay and also on Craigslist. Like I would literally meet up people like at the gas station because I knew I was smart enough not to get jumped, right? I'd be in a public place. I would flip anything I can. I did have eBay, you know, I wasn't like the best at it, but as long as it had nice pictures and a good price point and a little description, it would sell. That's the honest truth, right? And got into a little hole. So I was all into the whole car scene, right? Fixed up my car, spent like 10 G's on it, got on a freaking magazine. And I look back, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I spent that much money on a freaking car. Anyway, you know, we all go through those phases,
right? Every Filipino's dream, man.
I know, man. So, you know, got into the car game, was doing a lot of wholesaling, worked for, you know, sold car accessories, all that good stuff, right? And eventually, of course, I guess this kind of plays into my story of how I became a nurse, right? I was so involved in high school. Like, I'm not talking like extracurricular activities from associate student body to basketball team. And I think my mom just, and my parents just got really sick of driving me to school all the time, right? So they straight up, and this is kind of how I got into the car scene. My mom was just like, hey, you know, at the time, I don't know how it is now, but you could get a, what do you call it? Like a driver's permit at age 15, right? And, you know, as soon as I could get that, I got it. And they were just like, and this is how my mom bribed me into nursing. She was just like, hey, if you want us to get you this used Honda, you know, I know in her head, like this piece of shit Honda that you so want, right? You got to take up nursing. And at the time, I don't know what I wanted to be, but I told myself I wanted to be like an engineer. I didn't even know what the fuck that meant at the time. But I just wanted
sounded
to
cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to be something, right? And so I was like, fuck it. Like, yeah, let's run it, right? I didn't really care. I was like, I just want the car, right?
You said a Honda? Okay.
Yeah, right? So, you know, I got the Honda I wanted used and, you know, just, you know, fast forward, you know, I started taking up nursing, right? I went into the medical field. I had no background. So usually for those of you listening, right, when you go into the medical field, especially like whether it's a PA program, nursing program, whatever, you usually have some sort of medical background of some kind, right? Whether you started off as a nurse's aide, even if you just started off as taking medical terminology class, right? Dude, I'm telling you guys right now, I went in there like I didn't know anything. So obviously a female dominated profession. I was one of the three to four males in the class. And I was probably second to youngest.
Solid ratio game.
Yeah. If you look at it that way. Yeah. So basically, I don't know what I got myself into. I got eaten up alive. Right. I was on academic probation for like all three semesters, or there's four semesters total. I was on academic probation for three semesters, almost failed, like you name it, right? It was the first time I probably cried, like in far as like in general public in front of like a lot of professional people. It was just very tough, you know? And eventually, of course, you know, fast forward, I became successful. I graduated, passed my test the first time, and I became a registered nurse licensed at age 23. And that's kind of crazy too, talking about my, you know, my family dynamic. That's kind of where me and my dad finally clicked. It's kind of interesting because another thing he used to do, me and my dad are so close now, it's crazy, but he used to like tell people, like people, you know how like parents are always proud of their kids. They have to tell everything about their kids, right? Dude, when the subject of me would come up, my dad would be like, oh, he's just, he ain't doing shit with his life. He's fucking around with his car. I don't know what the fuck.
Dang, your parents and my parents went to the same parenting school. That's what's up.
Yeah. Right. Maybe they're related. I don't know. Right. And so, you know, and then finally, I guess, you know, I finally, you know, obviously became a nurse. And, you know, that's, I guess you could say when our relationship grew a lot stronger. Right. And I'm very confident in saying this. It used to make me feel uncomfortable, but, you know, compared to some of the homies, like I was one of the first to really start making some good bread. Right. I was successful and I was in a profession. Right. And so, of course, like that put me in a position like I'm making six figures already. And, you know, of course, you're young, you're single, you're making way more money than you're used to. Right. What do? You start blowing that shit.
Hell right? Yeah. Like,
I remember, and this is a true story. Someone, a fellow nurse told me right before I graduated, he's like, hey, man, you're going to be making so much more money than you used to. You won't know how to spend it. And dude, that person was absolutely right. Cause I remember the first 2 to 3 months, I
EJ said challenge accepted.
Yeah. But eventually what happened is, of course, more money, more problems. And I eventually fell into the rat race where I bought the sports car. I bought my first home, I think age 24, and, you know, fell into the rat race. And then I decided, I don't know why it wasn't even, again, as you guys could tell, just recollecting this story, nursing obviously wasn't like my passion or purpose, right? And so I have no idea why I decided to go back to school. Like I got my bachelor's, which was easy, right? Online and everything. Then I decided to go for my master's, and I was more than halfway done with being a family nurse practitioner, right? With my master's degree. And it simply hit me. I was literally in clinicals, and it just hit me like finally, it's like, EJ, what are you doing? Like, you already know this isn't like the route you're trying to go. So why do you keep pushing? Right. Mm-hmm. And so literally like after my first day of clinicals, I just left and I quit. Until this day, I'm actually almost done paying off that school loan, but I still get shit from my mom. Like, you should have just finished. You should have just finished. So yeah, that's, and then, you know, I've always had an interest. I like to call myself like a serial hobbyist, and I just can't like stay still, meaning like I can't stay the same. I'm always seeking like whether it's knowledge, whether it's trying something new, right? And eventually I fell into entrepreneurship and self-development, right? I got really, really interested in how to better myself. I was going through a huge transition in my life too, because obviously I was making a lot of money, more money. You know, of course, the girls at the time, and lost a lot of weight. I used to be 280 pounds, right? And, you know, I was going through a huge transformation in my life, is what I'm trying to say. And then, you know, basically I started to get into entrepreneurship. And I guess the rest is history. You know, really at this point, you know, we could start getting into details, but basically I recognized that, you know, nursing wasn't my end all, right? Hmm. And I started working towards, you know, other things and expanding my mind a little bit about what else is out there. Right.
Everything. What were some of those things that helped expand your mind initially?
Yeah. Just, reading books and, you guys could probably tell already, I love meeting new people. Like I love meeting new people. I love networking. That's probably like my second bread and butter aside from podcasting. And so to me, obviously I got love for my family. I got love for my friends I grew up with. But, you know, I just love meeting new people. I've always been, I don't know, I guess you could say a social butterfly. And as soon as I started aligning myself with other professionals, other people who kind of want more and like are, you know, kind of in that realm of entrepreneurship, self-development, that's when I started to open my eyes a little bit. Like, hey, like, dude, there's a lot of opportunity out there. And like, so-and-so's killing it in this game. Like, you know, have I ever thought about that? Right. And so, but it eventually got to the point, guys, where I was just like, you know, everyone knew me as the type, like when I said I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Right. I said like, hey, I'm going to finish school, nursing, become a nurse. I did it. I'm going to buy that sports car I wanted. I did it. I bought my first home. You know, I said I was going to do it. I did it. Right. All that stuff. And then what happened? I didn't finish school. And then I started finding myself, because there are so many opportunities coming your way. Right. And you're kind of just, you're still kind of in that limbo of like, hey, what's my passion? What's my purpose? What am I going to do? Right. And I'm so interested in different things that I started to dive into different subjects or different industries. And I noticed like I would just try it and then I would never like follow up or finish with it. And that's where I came to a point, I guess there was like a interesting transition there where I finally told myself, you know what, you need to really start focusing. You've been so hung up on how to flip and how to profit, right? And you can't stay in one thing. You need to really like dig deep and find like, what are you good at? Right. Mm. And that's where I love to preach a lot. A lot of people waste time, and Eugene, this is probably vomiting my words. Eugene knows this, but this is where a lot of people fall into a pit. They're over here waiting, like, you know, this is my passion and my purpose. And they're trying to like, or they don't know it, right? And they're trying to figure that shit out, when what they should be doing is actually honing in on their skills, try to drive that into like an industry or, you know, a different spectrum, right? And build it from there. Mm-hmm. And eventually that's probably going to lead to another opportunity or a different lane or a different channel, you know? So I quickly realized, and what did I do? I straight up pulled up my yellow notepad, right? And I started writing down what I knew that I loved and what I was good at. Almost like those things that you knew you would do for free, right? Mm-hmm. Like you would do it without getting paid. And what was it? It was the things I just told you, right? It was meeting new people. It was networking, right? And I really focused on those two things. And for whatever reason, I fell upon podcasting, man. And dude, I had no fucking idea what I was doing. It's also almost, actually, I, this is what I love about podcasting, because every time we recollect these things, like I start to notice these things. So what I'm realizing now, podcasting was almost like nursing to me, right? Remember I told you guys I kind of got into nursing. I didn't know shit. I didn't have no background. Uh-huh. Dude, it was the same exact thing with podcasting. Dude, I'm no audio engineer. You guys are doing it right now. And I'm sure you guys are like, oh, like figuring stuff out, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
it's all Dustin, baby.
All Dustin. Yeah. Give credit where it's due, brother. Right?
I'm just the loud and obnoxious one. You know
this. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, dude, I had no idea what I was doing. And I'm such a perfectionist because I kind of transitioned my mindset, right? If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to go all in, right? So, I went through this imposter syndrome, like, oh, who's going to listen to me? Like, shit, I'm doing all this research on podcasting equipment, which ranges from like either
If I can interject real quick, EJ, because I actually don't know that part of the story. So can you recall a specific event or moment that made you say podcasting, that made you like look into it?
No, it was just, again, I just wrote down the things I thought I was good at. And I told myself, okay, what platform or what lane can allow me to do that, where I could connect with people and meet with them and have conversations, right? Because those are the three things mm-hmm. I know I'm good at or I love to do. Mm. And those three things just, you know, when I fell into podcasting, I was just like, or when the podcasting subject came about, and I don't remember how that, you know, I just stumbled across it. I told myself like, damn, those three things could definitely fall into this lane, right? And so I already knew when I started to dig into podcasting and like where it's going, how it could be profitable, like later, right? I started to ask myself like, wow, like this can actually connect me like to other people, right? This is how I could have these conversations that I love doing, just like I'm doing right now, mm-hmm. right? And so that's kind of how I came about it, dude. And I just eventually I joined Arte. For those of you guys who don't know Arte Syndicate, it's an entrepreneurial group founded by Ed Milet and Andy Frisella. And I joined the first year, and I had accountability partners. And one day there's like, EJ, give us your date you're launching. And I was like, shit. Right? So I picked a date. I launched the first a month earlier. Eventually,
deadlines,
I just got
so, people deadlines get shit done.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I just got so sick and tired of like trying to be a perfectionist, worrying about the right equipment. Right, I had like the very tech savvy cousin tell me to buy all this shit, which equal to like 20 G's. God. Then you know, and then I have like the other. Then I have the other people who are just like, yo, you could budget and do this and do that. So I kind of like went in the middle, I guess you could say.
Eugene's and kind of done like three episodes on his phone.
So, yeah. Sitting on a suitcase. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the kind of like the cool thing about podcasting is like a lot of people overlook and think like you need like this crazy studio. You need like this fancy equipment. In reality, exactly what you said, you could actually do podcasting for free. You could upload it to Anchor app. Anchor. You could do it from your phone with the headphones on.
Not even wearing pants right now.
Yeah. Right? Dude, and yeah, it's allowed me to connect to some of the most remarkable people I've ever been able to meet.
While we're on the subject, EJ, of kind of like how you set up the podcast, because we do want to get into a lot of the technical too. So if I was an aspiring podcaster listening to Mr. EJ Cruz, what is your day one advice on starting a podcast from like an actual strategic perspective?
Absolutely. So the first thing, and I've done a few keynotes on podcasting, and the number one thing I will say is what's your why, right? And I know that sounds pretty like cheesy or straightforward, but what's your like, why exactly are you starting it? Like, you know what I mean? Because to me, that's going to say a lot around the direction of where it's going. The second thing is you need to identify who your target audience is, right? And you can't identify that unless you know your why. So for me, again, what was my why, right? My why was I wanted to have conversations that I think could give wisdom and inspiration and lessons and morals to my listeners, right? So because I knew that, I knew automatically that I would be able to connect with remarkable people. And again, it would kind of be like this, I guess you could say like beacon, right? A beacon of inspiration and all that stuff, right? So I knew automatically my target audience would be people who are looking into self-development. See how that all connect there? So those are like my biggest tips, to be honest. Everything else just falls into place as far as like uploading it and, you know, releasing it and all that other stuff. But it's really identifying like those simple things, right? And then probably another thing.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish that point. Then I'll ask a question.
No. I was just going to say then probably just the format, like right now, right? This is kind of like a little bit interview style, right? And it's virtual, right? You got to figure out if you're doing like a solo thing, if you're doing like documentary, like storytelling, if you're going to be doing it in person, is it only with one interviewee, two interviews, things like that? All that stuff really, really matters. You know what I'm saying? So I would say those three things, bro.
Got you. And then if there was to be a podcast starter kit for the level one podcaster, what would be in that podcast starter kit?
Truthfully, kind of like what you guys are doing, to be honest, right? Able to do it on Zoom because you're able to reach people, especially right now with COVID, right? You could buy a microphone, a pretty decent one, USB, maybe for probably under $100 on sale, probably even less than that, okay? You just hook it up, it records, and that's it. Like truthfully, it's that simple. And it's crazy because I took it up a notch. By the way, this is going to be kind of good when you look at it this way. I told myself I want to do all my shit in person, which made it harder, right? Because I can't get everyone to come to my house, right? Second thing is that, where was I going with this? So one was that the in-person thing. And then second was I was very, I think, particular, right, with the type of guests I wanted. Right. So kind of like very limited me in regards to kind of where the direction was going with it. But I just kind of knew what I wanted. And then again, I switched my mindset. I really wanted to focus. I wanted this to really be fun and make me happy. Right. I already did the research that it could be profitable. Right. It could monetize. And we could talk about that later too. But I really focused on that. And again, it was just like it's like free to me. Right. When I sit down, you guys could see. If you guys are watching the video behind me, my podcast setup's a little dirt. It's a little all jacked up there, but you know, just sitting down with someone, it brings a different dynamic. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Sorry guys. Is that also my podcast? I film. So when you film, that brings a whole new problems, whole set, a different dynamic with the whole content piece. Right. If you're just doing audio, that's simple, right? Record, stop. That's it. Mm-hmm. Right. When you're doing film, even Zoom, you will run into some technical difficulties. Right. And I did that for a reason. One, I knew not a lot of podcasters are doing video content. So if you are, I highly suggest it. Or if you aren't doing it, I highly suggest it. And Gary Vee talks about this. It's called the triple-headed monster. And it's basically how you're able to repurpose the content. Right. And leverage the, if you're doing interview style or, you know, guest, you're able to leverage those people's audience, right? So example, you have a video, you do a clip, mini clip, you could post that on Instagram, social media, you could put that into a blog, you can make an audio file, right? There's so many different ways to repurpose the content. In fact, I ain't gonna lie, part of my strategy, I've been doing podcasting for what? I think like 2 years, 3 years, no, 2 years, right? Dude, there's gonna be episodes like I'm gonna repurpose like 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's just because that's the beauty of it. So yeah, man.
Is that what then leads to, because you did say we can get into the monetization of podcasts, which for selfish reasons I would love to have that conversation and learn more.
Absolutely.
So, how does the content then create that funnel to eventually lead to monetization, or what strategies have you used?
So it's funny because the monetizing game in the podcasting world is continues to evolve in the sense that there people are finding new ways to monetize all the time, right? So the most common one is running ads. And of course, those ads, right, you would, I mean, there's platforms now where you, it's basically like Podcorn's like a number one platform where podcast hosts and like companies who want their ads to be ran, they come to an agreement on a price, and then you do like a, what do you call it? Like a mid-roll, pre-roll, or post-roll, right? People like Joe Rogan, right? That guy, because he's the number one podcaster, he's able to do like a 10-minute pre-roll, right? And yeah. So obviously for beginners, you definitely want to probably stick out to like a 15-second one, because clearly like you're not as big and you're probably going to lose your audience, mm-hmm. right? And it kind of just depends too, right? Like if we're a self-development podcast, but here you are like trying to promote like, I don't know, like a special detergent or something like that, it has no relation whatsoever, right? It just doesn't make sense, right? So one is obviously the ads. Second is probably endorsements or sponsorships. I've had a few people sponsor a couple of my podcasts, even if it's not in the form of just like money, but just like in regards to like Pathwater, right? Shadi has sponsored a few of my episodes. I had I think they're called Super Coffee, you know, brands like that, right? Mm-hmm. Other ways to monetize, so ad sponsorships. You could, again, if you're an expert in your industry, say it's like a real estate podcast, you could start promoting your courses. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, and it, obviously podcasting is a little trendy, but still super early in regards to the numbers, right? There's a reason why a lot of celebrities are tapping into the podcasting game. And the reason why is because it allows them to have that interaction with their audience a lot better and a lot more intimate compared to like social media. Right.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to say is this is where like talent agencies all of a sudden started coming up. You'd have these talent agencies trying to get people to hop on your podcast, or like they would pay you. Right. And there's talent agencies out there that actually will pay for your podcast. Right. And their hopes is that you become successful. You get bought out by a network, or they get the rights to it, kind of like maybe Joe Rogan and Spotify. Right. So there's like, so as you could tell, there's so many different ways to monetize. You could get very, very clever. I mean, you could have like an exclusive group. You could go on a platform that charges and you get like a certain percentage of that. There's so many different ways, to be honest.
Just not OnlyFans. Just not an OnlyFans.
Damn it. And dude, the honest truth was I never planned on monetizing until like way, way down the road. Right. Because again, this was something I really wanted to enjoy. I don't want to focus on the money. But what really just happened is that sponsorships and running ads just kind of fell in my lap. And eventually, when you take podcasting serious, you're going to come to a point where you want it to pay for itself. Mm-hmm. Right. Not only does it require the time, but if you kind of are legitimate and you repurpose the content, especially if you film, you want it to pay for itself. To the sense that, like, say you're producing a certain amount of episodes per week or per month or whatever it may be, right? I mean, like, at some point, you want someone to edit it for you, right? You want them to edit your audio. So at some point, it has to pay for itself. And that's when I quickly realized, I was like, you know what? It's okay to monetize, right? But let that monetization help pay for the podcast itself. So that's kind of what I did. And now, dude, at the time, I was like, right, I'm a brand new podcaster and I wanted guests, right? And I had to convince people to come to my home and let's kick in and have this the coffee,
right.
Cigar, whiskey type of conversations, right? So literally one of the things I did, I made it a habit to reach out to two people a day that want my podcast, right? So I just started reaching out to people, telling them about the podcast. And dude, what people started to realize, especially at the time, people like knew like, dude, if you're a brand or a business or you're trying to put your face somewhere, spread your message, you'd be stupid to not go on a podcast, because this is exactly what I said of how you're able to reach so many countries. I know you guys are reaching some crazy countries right now too. Congratulations to that.
And you right? say,
and that's like, even me, like there's countries
out to our international listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. And dude, you start to there was like countries I never knew existed that started listening to mine, which would pump me up. Right. And so I started reaching out to two people a day. And eventually, of course, like, again, the people, especially I sought out, like they get it, right? I've had a few like no's, people who overlook, like canceled on me, you know, shit happens, right? Mm. But you just basically what I'm trying to say, you'd got to be stupid to not hop on a podcast. Like, that's the honest truth, right? If you're a guest or brand, right?
Especially and, the parables.
Yeah, especially the parables, right? And so got people to start hopping on. I was doing, you know, very, very consistent. And then like eventually it came down to people start referring me, like telling people like, bro, you got to hop on this podcast I was just on, right? Or like, hey, I know someone I think it'd be really, really great for this podcast, right? Eventually it comes down to that. And I think a lot of people just enjoy it, man. This is like the new way of like having conversation, dude, is actually recording it. And people love, you know, listening. People love, I always like to say, I want people to feel as if they're there next to us talking with my podcast, at least, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, again, for the people listening, you know, I hope you guys feel that way. You know what I'm saying?
So, bro. And yeah, I think an important note too is you've directly monetized your podcast, which is what we talked about with the endorsements and the brand deals and whatnot. But you're also now indirectly monetize your podcast, because it was because of the podcast and the guests you found that opened you up for the opportunity to work with Ed Milette with Milette Management Group, which you are turning into a very significant income. So maybe now would be a good time to transition from the podcasting world to your most active project now with Milette Management Group and LFG. So maybe tell us the story of how that happened and then break down some financial game for us while we're there.
Yeah. So one thing before I get into that is I would say the biggest rewards that I've gotten from the podcast is the relationships I built, especially if you do like guest appearances, right? And so again, everyone has to realize not all rewards will come in the form of money, right? That could come in the form of wisdom, that could come in the form of relationships, which also, by the way, could form other relationships, right?
Roommates.
And that was that?
I say roommates.
Yeah, roommates, right? And so that's probably the biggest thing I love about my podcast. I've been able to meet, network, and even go into business with some remarkable individuals that I truly feel I would never have met unless it was for the podcast. That's the honest truth, right? And so I guess so it's actually Eugene, who's actually a part of it, but it's called Miliari Group. We've changed the name, okay? So it's called Miliari Group.
That's right.
But, yeah. So, long story short, so Ed Milette, again, is part of RTA Syndicate. He's one of the founders. So he's been a mentor of mine for 3 years. And it's funny, as going back to my nursing career, I always used to have individuals try to come at me and try to get me into this financial services game, right? Recruit me and do all this other stuff. And I just never was a fan of it. Again, I was kind of that naive guy, like, hey, what's my passion? What's my purpose? Oh, finances? No, I'm good, right? And so eventually what happened was a good friend of mine who's also an RTA Syndicate, Edwin Adeyabe, who's part of the business as well, very successful gentleman. He reaches out to me while I'm at work, right? He was about to have his baby girl, right? His wife's about to deliver. So he's in front of a bunch of nurses and he's like, oh, let me call EJ. And he calls me out of nowhere. And he's one of those guys in your Rolodex, like, what the fuck? He's calling me. I better pick the fucking phone up, right? Drop everything and pick that shit up, right? So I pick it up and, you know, he kind of tells me about this story about, you know, I already knew Ed Milette's background. So if you guys don't know this, he has 30 years in the game in financial services. He's basically the Michael Jordan of it. Okay. In addition to that, he's probably the most well-respected, if not the most respected self-development peak performer entrepreneur out there on social media as well, to the likes of like Tony Robbins, Gary Vee, and people like that, right? And Edwin basically told me like, hey, you know, Ed Milette's trying to start this this new agency, right? And, you know, went through a few name changes, but it ended up being a Miliari Group. And initially at the time, I was not kind of attracted to it just because of, again, my history, right? The people I'm used to who approached me about the business was just all about really just kind of like tapping into my network and not really helping me or seeing how they could, basically help me or like what's in it for me, right? Or anything like that. And, you know, when I won, knowing that it was spearheaded by Ed Milette was very attractive. The second thing was the fact that we were doing things a lot different, right? In the sense that we wanted to build an agency where we're doing what's best for the client, that we were working with very high performing, high profile people as well. So it's not like your typical financial agency where they just try to like pick up anyone off the street,
right?
You know, right? Is we were actually working with other entrepreneurs, other you know, TEDx speakers, people with Book of Business, people with the influence, things like that, right? And they were, you know, to me, I'm like, why are these successful people tapping into this business when they're already successful, right? Mm-hmm. Really diving in. If anyone doesn't know, financial services is actually the number one industry in the world, more than retail and real estate combined. And I kind of just saw the opportunity like, man, this is my lane for a couple of reasons. One is the mentorship and guidance. Second, I'm huge on ecosystems and networking, like I've said multiple times already. And then I finally just came to a realization like, hey, if I'm going to be this multimillionaire that I know EJ Cruz is going to be, I might as well get financially educated, right? I've had my share of financial education, right? The number one, Eugene knows this. We spoke about this, right? What's the number one way to learn how money works? It's to lose money, right?
School of hard.
When you lose, right? When you lose money, you're going to learn how to either avoid it or never make that mistake again, unless you're like a gambler, have a gambling addiction, right? But that's basically how it came out. It came about, and then pandemic hit. But it still didn't do it, didn't put a dent in our business. And now we're firing at all cylinders. Obviously, there's a lot to look into the financial industry in the sense that kind of what's happening with the world, right? The pandemic, you know, I still don't know what's going to happen with this election. And then, of course, overdue market correction. And to the sense that we're heading more towards an automated world. Mm-hmm. So we understand that finances is going to be a need everywhere. Right? Everyone's going to need to use our services. You know, I don't knock the hustle, right? Because I used to hustle all this stuff. But again, it's not alkaline water. It's not essential oils. It's not skin products that only tailors to a certain demographic. It tailors to everyone. Money tailors to everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And so all of that combined is really what got me going. And now, you know, working with one of the best, working with some other you know, high profile, high operating individuals such as Eugene, and you know, the rest is history, man. And I truly feel, as you guys know, I'm still a registered nurse, right? I haven't left the field, but I could tell you right now that I'm going to be leaving it very, very soon, right?
No,
just got a baby on the way, so I just got to do it a little strategic before I pull the trigger. You know what I'm saying?
Go. Yep.
Yeah.
What are some basics of finance that, because most people have zero financial education. Now, I know the real answer is book a call with EJ Cruz so you can really get your finance. But what are just some high level financial mental shifts you've made over the last, you know, handful of months being a part of this organization that, I mean, you could just pass on to the audience right now in a very digestible way?
You know what? That's a very good question. And it's kind of weird because I think a lot of people are going to expect some crazy like algorithm formula of some kind. But the reality is it's this. I tell people all the time, like, look, especially if you live in America, right? There's no doubt that everyone knows how to make fucking money, right? Everyone knows how to make money, but it's another thing to learn how to manage, how to save and how to invest it, right? So that part's easy in regards to making it, but those others, right, is where you need to have that discipline, right, and have the fundamentals to really know how money works. Okay. Some financial principles that even we teach or we like to talk about are things like Rule 72, how the bank leverages your money, how your money works for the bank versus how the money should be working for you. Right.
Can you unpack that a little bit? What does that mean?
What? Oh, and just basically kind of like, you know, if you leave your money in a bank account, right, it's technically working against you, right? Because one, it's not building any money, right? The rate of return in the savings account is shit. Okay. And, you know, the bank, you know, again, when you got like, let's just say you put $10,000 in a bank account, dude, it's not sitting there in a cash vault, right? They're using that money to help sell loans, mm-hmm. right? And so that's what I mean. Like when you have money sitting around, because what's like the number one thing our parents or other people teach you? save, right?
Yeah.
But when you got money just sitting around, and right, you should have money there that's quickly accessible, but you should also have money that's working for you, right? And so that's what I mean by that is not a lot of people know how to let that money work for them. And the only reason why, and it's not that, you know, everyone's stupid, even me, right? It's just that we weren't taught this shit in school, mm-hmm. right? And people always want to talk about like, what's the real disease or the real pandemic, man, the real pandemic or real epidemic is actually financial illiteracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's the real truth right there. And so we teach basic concepts like that, right? The rule of 72, different investment strategies, especially when it comes to taxes as well, right? You know, we're not like licensed.
Talk to us about that. So what are some of the biggest mistakes you see people make when it comes to their tax strategy or lack thereof for most people?
Yeah, the thing is it's really simple. It's just the fact that they don't know how their money works in regards to taxes, right? So there's different products or different vehicles out there that either work against you or work for you. So one way is, again, like kind of like comparing tax deferred versus tax advantage, meaning like with tax deferred, kind of like a retirement account, how like you don't pay now, but you pay later, mm-hmm. versus a tax advantage or tax free account. Whereas, you know, you're able to accumulate and invest your money, make a return or an ROI, and then you're able to get that money tax free, right? Just simple things like that, right? And it's huge because a lot of people, such as like the example of 401k, right? Think about this. Think about all the hard-earned money that you've been slaving away, right? All the blood, sweat, and tears, only to come to a realization or to surprise when you finally access that money, you're going to get a hit by Uncle Sam, mm-hmm. right? Or a penalty fee, depending on when you pull that money, right? So it's just things like that. So we teach those basics, right? We teach the basics of kind of like what retirement, how retirement works, how to properly manage debt, how to properly save your money in the event of an emergency situation, right? These are really, really basic financial concepts. And that's not to like, you know, call anyone out, right? Again, these are just things that we were never taught and that I didn't even know. I just knew how to spend money. You know what I'm saying?
So for the person that's got, let's say they have, like 10 grand sitting in the old mattress, or 20 grand or something, somebody that's putting it away more in the, tangible, level, what would you say to that person that has that sitting around right there? It's not sitting in a bank. What would be the first thing that you would say to do with that?
Yeah. So one thing I want to make clear is that because I'm licensed, I actually can't really give financial advice, but this is kind of like, I guess you could say, I'll make it very clear out there. This is kind of my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, opinion.
In regards to that answer, is that I would just look at that money and whatever, whether it's a business opportunity, whether it's an investment, you always want to look at the risk, right? Look at the risk, look at the industry and where it's headed, and then always look at the rate of return or the return on investment, right? And if it's still fairly, you know, if you don't know what that is, look at the past performance, right? Of the track record behind it. And that's really all I would say, right? Now you got to be very, very clever, very, very savvy and smart, you know, with your money, right? If you got $10,000 sitting around, but you have a lot of debt, I mean, truthfully, you should be probably looking at that debt first, yeah. right? You get pretty clever, right? And there's a lot of different strategies out there on how to leverage like other people's money, which I think is very, very good if you do it right. But, $10,000 is very, very good. You know, to me, I think having accessible money that you could get really, really quickly is always good, right? Because again, there's just so much, especially in America, man, we're always taxed with something, man, whether it's an IRS bill, I don't know, you got to replace your freaking HVAC, whatever it may be, right? We're always like, there's always unexpected expenses. And especially on depending on where you live, like Dustin, you live in California? Where do you live?
I'm in Boise, Idaho.
Oh, okay. That's right. Oh, shit. Especially like us living in California, we're like the number one tax state.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's just something to think about. You look at
that. That's the next Boise sound really nice for that reason.
It's yeah, not Nevada, man. With zero, but we got it. We're good here.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just lots of things to think about. But I would say, like, for someone that does have $10,000 just ready to go, I applaud them alone for just having that, dude. Not a lot of people got that, right? Yeah. A lot of people, there's a stat out there I always forget, but basically it's like a huge percentage of people don't even have $1,000 saved up in their savings account. And that's like, that's a problem, right? So what does that force people to do too? That forces people to just use their credit cards, man. And then this is going to tie more debt to them. And then now they're in this, almost like they're barely staying afloat. So
I think the pandemic definitely taught us that many, many people, not just people, but businesses and companies, it's just kind of the American culture. Everyone is very over leveraged.
It's consumerism. Yeah.
And it's fine. It's
term asset, or even just liquid asset is, has been diluted for most of the consumer market.
Mm-hmm. You know what, me and Eugene had this conversation when I was up there in Modesto not too long ago, but you know, one of the things about money that I've come to realize, it's kind of funny because, you know, I have a baby girl arriving in January, right? My first. And I almost see money like a gender reveal, right? And I say that to the sense of this, right? Money will reveal you when you don't have any money or you lose all your money. Money is also going to reveal you when you make a shitload of money. And when I say reveal of who you are, the type of person you are, right?
Like,
and that's it's just crazy to me, right? And I've kind of witnessed it myself. I witnessed it with me a little bit. Like, I've seen kind of like how I've changed, and then now like there's things to me, like tangible things, I'm like, I don't even care about no more, right? Then every now and then I got like that, you know, I got that 2 Chainz in me that just wants to floss, you know what I'm saying?
Especially but, when you go and visit Ed Mylett's house, which you're gonna have to tell us how that experience was and hang out.
Oh yeah, Ed
Mylett.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
swimming in the little mini ocean he's got there.
Yeah, man. I just I gotta say I'm very grateful for him being a mentor and a big brother to me. And I'll just tell you this: he is the true definition of wealth. Like, I'm sure a lot of us know a few people that are pretty wealthy. His like that type of wealth is a whole different lane, man. Like, I'm not joking, right? And it really opens up your eyes. And that's something that Edwin, who got me into the Millionaire Group, something he preaches all the time that I think is very, very important, is like learning how to touch the dream, right? Kind of like a window shop on purpose, right? Because you get to see what's out there. You could, you know, kind of put in your eye, like, you know, again, get you motivated and see what's out there and what's possible, right? And so for us to, for me to be able to experience that and see what that type of wealth is, I'm just like, man, that's what's up. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man.
That's all you're going to give us, huh? You go to Ed Mylett's house and that's what's up. Awesome, bro.
Yeah, man.
So I know you have, I mean, and you said this earlier that you can never sit still, because I know even aside from your full-time nursing career, as well as the Millionaire Group, as well as about to have a baby girl, like, you still dabble in other things. I know you got your vending machine business. I know you and I have dabbled in the Amazon game here recently. Can you just speak in general to the importance of multiple streams of income and how you've been able to create like so many sources, you know, leveraging the platforms you've built?
Yeah, man. I just think, and I teach this, especially when I sit down with business owners and clients and, you know, our agency, right? I think it's just common sense now, man. If you are relying on one source of income, like, you're setting yourself up for failure. That's the honest truth, right? Like, it's basically like putting all your eggs in one basket, right? And so for me, now every time I decide, because now time is of huge, huge value to me, right? Especially with starting a family and all the stuff that's happening in my life. So to me, I got to find a way, right? What's everyone's, I'm sure everyone's dream is financial freedom, right? And of course, that's one of mine. And so for me, anytime I put my efforts and my skills and talents and all my time into something, right, I want to know that it does have some sort of monetary reward back, because my goal and my big whys and my intentions, of course, is my family and spending time with them. So, you know, every time I look at something, I want to make sure, I analyze it and I try to see what the ROI is in that. And having those multiple streams of income will, you know, eventually help us, all of us, get there. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's very, very interesting, and it's very, very smart some of the things that like me and Eugene, right, what we've been able to do, we're finding different ways of income, right? Because you have to realize that, you know, it's just the same thing as diversifying your portfolio. You know, you can't rely on one industry to really help, you know, take you to the promised land, if that makes sense, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Amazon, right? That was like a no-brainer for both of us, right? It's automated. Amazon's not fucking going nowhere, right? And if you're able to do something and spend less time in it and make profit, dude, to me, like that's a no-brainer to me, right? So there's just different ways. And then of course, like people who, you know, eventually I'm gonna get into real estate, right? Because that's a proven hedge against inflation, right? And that's you know, that's something, you know, just different types of income is just very, very important, man. If you just, like I said, if you only got a couple, man, you're setting yourself up for failure, mm-hmm. right? I said one, right? But even to me, even like just two or three, that's not good enough. I think like probably you need like 10. Not joking.
You know, especially in such a fast-paced environment right now. It's like Dan Fleischman, when he lost his poker business, that was his one thing, you know, and he never did that again. You've got Facebook came out with instant articles and countless news and publication businesses, million-dollar businesses just went under overnight because they didn't own the traffic. You know, it's changing so constantly. You just definitely can't rely on one thing.
Yeah, and let all the stuff that's happening right now be an example, yeah. right? There's so much uncertainty out there. Every time there's news now, I'm just kind of like, it's hard to be surprised now because I just feel like there's so much uncertainty happening.
Yeah,
murder hornet. Exactly, right? So again, like, dude, like half of your portfolio could go upside down yep. in like literally a day, and you'll be shocked. You know, since that's why you need multiple streams of income, man. You cannot. Eugene, remind me something that Alex said, right? At our mastermind.
He said a lot of those things.
No. He basically said, don't like your industry. Don't let it be vulnerable. is kind of what he said, you know what I'm saying? And so that's why when you have multiple streams of income, right? If one of them's taken away, then you could leverage the other streams. So
you gotta build a moat around the castle. I think I remember him kind of phrasing it that way.
Yeah.
But absolutely. What I like to tell people all the time is, you know, being a basketball player, I make a lot of basketball analogies. And look, as fun and flashy as playing offenses and getting buckets, you know, making money is getting buckets. What is it that wins championships? Defense. So making sure you're not just accumulating, but you're also forming a hedge around potential downturns in the economy, because there's always going to be downswings in the macro and in the micro, in our personal lives and in the economy around us. So you just want to make sure that, you're as diversified as possible in your revenue streams. And you've done a great job of that. But hey, EJ, I know we're coming up on time here. I know we also have a second episode in the works here, so we'll kind of shed some light on that here shortly. But before we let you go, man, for this go around, Dustin, do you have any rapid fires for EJ? I'll ask one. Hey, EJ, do you believe in aliens?
I like that, huh? All those the out of nowhere questions, man. If you're being being serious, you really
ask that ass, bro,
man. I do think there's other forms of life. I'll say that aside from, you know, from outside of Earth, I do think so. Now, is that in the form of a fucking giant green looking abomination? I don't know. Right. But I do think
he was brown. Okay. Yeah, that was my question. Your turn, Dustin.
This one's a little selfish. We're going to jump back to podcasting. So you've had some very influential guests, you know, a lot of people that, you know, just have a vast amount of knowledge and information to give, and also generally pretty hard to reach, one would think. What's your number one way of just reaching out to some of those guests? I mean, is it managing your network that you've already established, or would you say it's just, you know, sliding the DMs?
That's a great question. I have a few ways, and I feel like I've overlooked it in the past, especially to, well, first I would have the mindset, like, I'm not joking, guys, you guys are thinking I'm selfish. I would already identify someone I want on my podcast, and I already tell myself, man, that motherfucker has no idea he's going to be on my podcast real soon. Right. Cause I just don't, I can't say, you know, I don't take no, right? If I want something, I'll go and get it, right? One thing is just, like I said, one is smart people will want to hop on a podcast. I'm going to give you an example. So I had a guy, a really, really successful real estate agent on my podcast, and we were talking off camera when he came on after our recording, and he was telling me how like he just hopped on this kid's podcast, and it was like, I think like some kid from like Africa, right? And clearly he's young, you know, he knew he didn't have like a strong social media following or influence, right? And he's like looking at him, you know, like with the camera, like I guess it was on Zoom, right? And he's like, yo man, where are you right now? And tell me why this kid, he tells me, this kid says, oh, I'm in my closet because like this is the only place I could record and the only place that would be quiet because it's so loud, right? And so me and him were talking about how like, yeah, it's crazy because I get people all the time who want to pick my brain, take me out for a cup of coffee and all this stuff. And clearly he says no. But with someone who asks me to be on their podcast, it's an automatic yes. And the reason why is he's a fellow podcaster too, and he understands the power of podcasting. That guy, that kid from Africa would be the next Joe Rogan. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
And so because again, the way podcasting is able to be distributed throughout the world, not a lot of people know this, but why is podcasting so powerful? One, I just spoke about the repurposing aspect of it. Second, it's not censored. Yet, I do think there's going to be some form of censorship soon, so people should take advantage of podcasting.
Podcast fact check.
Spotify is already trying to take out Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, and I was telling everyone, I was like, dude, I told you guys, man, it's going to be coming, right? Anyway, third is the fact that the content alone is not affected by any algorithms of any kind, mm-hmm. right? And so it's able to reach so many people. So back to the story, like that guy, that real estate guy, he just recognized like, dude, if I will hop on every podcast in the world, because not only do I want to spread my message, but I know it puts me out there, right? And that's his goal, of course, to market himself, right? If you're a business owner, right, you want to market yourself as much as possible, right? So where was I going with that? One is, again, usually if you ask the right person, they're smart, they're going to want to hop on regardless, right? Now, for other people who require a little more, I guess you could say, incentivizing or a little more, you know, push. Truthfully, in my opinion, if you know how to market yourself and you're a good person and maybe fall into their lane a little bit, maybe it's self-development, entrepreneurship, for instance, I think there will be kind of like this eye-to-eye level and they'll just automatically want to join, right? Especially like with me, you know, I always tell people all the time, like, you know, again, what's your why? This goes back to, again, what's your why for doing your podcast? Who's your target audience, right? So for me, the parables, right? So what's the meaning behind parables? Parables is like a hidden, it's a story, hidden morals, lessons, all that stuff, right? And so I tell people all the time, like, hey, I just like to have conversations about you and how the goal is for our conversations to give some wisdom, to entertain, to mind shift our listeners, mm-hmm. right? And that's just that all around this bureau. That's good vibes right there.
Yeah.
Right. I ain't talking about some bullshit. Right. Yeah. And so people kind of, I feel, wanted to be a part of that. So if you got like a good theme going on, I think people will naturally want to be a part of it, a part of your podcast or your podcast show. In addition to that, if you're just a good person and it's enjoyable, again, I treat my podcast, and this is probably a big tip as well, I treat my podcast like if someone were to come, I treat it like a restaurant. I want them to have full-blown experience. Like they feel good, energy's high, they're, you know, they enjoy themselves. And then all of a sudden, I guess you could say I've had a few of those. And again, what do they start doing? They start referring people to me, and I didn't even ask. Mm-hmm. Right? They'll start hitting up people. Like, hey, EJ, I just you know, when I left your house, I was on the call with a buddy of mine and I just couldn't help but like, dude, he'd be perfect on your podcast. Would you be down to me to introduce? You know, things like that, right? The last thing I'll say is one thing I call it the EJ Cruz virus. I know Eugene's going to laugh at this.
EJ Cruz virus.
If there's someone I'm really, really just trying to get access to, my strategy is seriously, I'll make sure that motherfucker sees me. Right. So example, if there's a particular guy, maybe a girl guy on social media, right. And I want them and they just, you know, haven't responded to me or whatever. Right. I will literally look and see who like they network or associate themselves with. right? And it's not to like bait them or whatever, right? But again, more than likely, right? It's good. It's good intentions, and more than likely, and here's the reason why. Okay, if I'm trying to access this guy, clearly I'm fond of them or her, right? Because they're a special individual. I want them on a podcast. I'm very selective, right? So more than likely, the people they associate themselves around with, I want to know them too, right? Because they're probably good people.
Yeah.
Right. So I get to know them. Again, I'm a person of networking, introducing myself, meeting new people, blah, blah, blah. Right. Mm-hmm. So when I say the EJ Cruz virus, you know, I would start meeting them, associating myself with them, meeting up with them, whatever it may be, right? Little events here and there. And eventually I know that motherfucker is going to be like, man, I've seen this guy a few times. Who is this guy? Right. And then eventually, I'll give you an example, like one of the gentlemen is on my podcast. I literally knew he was going to be at an event. I went there on purpose, not only to just network and see some buddies who are being there, but I knew he was going to be there. And I went up to him and just straight up introduced myself and says, bro, like, I would love to have you on my podcast. You know, this is what it's about. And that's it.
Who's that?
It's an automatic yes. Randall Pitch.
Oh, there you go.
Hey. Yeah.
Good
Randall
stuff,
Pitch. Man. Super busy guy, the homie. And, you know, I have a lot of buddies in the fitness industry, and, you know, he's obviously a very busy guy, hard to get access to, but that's really all it took. You know what I'm saying? And it really, for him, it was really more of just going up to him and, you know, saying what's up and, you know, introducing myself. And because he's a man of his word, he's that type of guy. I already knew. Right. Mm-hmm. And then as far as the EJ Cruz virus, you know, I've used that on multiple people. Right. So it's just. That's just what it is, dude. If you want someone that bad, if you want something, you're going to go out and get it. Closed mouths don't get fed. How are they going to know who the fuck you are, right? How do they know they're going to know about your podcast? Well, shit, you got to promote yourself.
I think that that line right there sums up EJ Cruz perfectly. Just go get it. You want it? Go get it. And that's kind of the theme that he's that's following him around his whole life. Well, I know we're definitely come up on time here, but one last question, EJ, before we set the stage for the follow-up conversation. But being the Dedication to Excellence podcast, we like to end each show by asking our guests, in your own words, Mr. EJ Cruz virus, what does it mean to live a life dedicated to excellence?
Oh man, gotta ask me a question like that, huh?
Damn, he ain't listening to none of our other shows, man.
No, I love these like ending it would be questioned. And I only say that because I obviously want to end it very, very good. And I guess you could say, like, what does it mean, right? Is the question. Like, what does that mean to me? What does
it mean to you to live a life dedicated to excellence?
It's going above and beyond, right? It's not settling for less or settling for mediocrity or being average. It's about going out there and getting it and being probably the biggest thing that I'm on. I'm on this thing about being very purposeful and very intentional, right? Because you can't expect yourself to receive the rewards of life and the rewards of God if you're not intentional, right? So if you're going to be intentional about being excellence, then your actions got to back that shit up, right? The hard work that's going to be put in. So in my opinion, it's that, man. It's the discipline. It's about being intentional. I think Ed Mylett says this all the time. How you do one thing is how you do everything. I used to not believe that because I'm kind of like, nah, dude, I'm fire on podcasting, but maybe I'm whack in golfing or something. You know what I'm saying? Like I would just, but it really is the truth. I think one way you do something, it speaks to some shape or form of how you do other things. Right. And if you're going to be excellent in one thing, you got to understand that that has to relate to other areas of your life. And more than likely, you're going to eventually going to need to become excellent in that part of your life, too. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I hope that was good.
That was beautiful, man. Great. You know what I've noticed, too, Dustin? I don't know if you've caught this pattern, but I feel like the majority of our guests, when we asked this last question, have brought up God. Interesting. Interesting take. Yep. There. But Shout out to the man above leading the way.
The true OG,
triple OG. Man, EJ Cruz, brother. Definitely appreciate you, man. Like I said in the AE, and he can dance too. Watch out for his TikTok. But yo, bro, like I said, man, if it wasn't for you and your inspiration, I doubt that I would be even be participating in this. And of course, I love you too, Dustin, because he's the one who really spearheaded this and brought it up to me.
Dustin's like,
it's like the speech when, you know, what is it? The athletes get the trophy and they thank their mom and everyone's like, what about me? Because there's a lot of other shit that happened there too. But nah, but it was that vision that I saw EJ Cruz put out there with the parables. I was like, yo, that looks pretty dope, because I like to network too. And it's been a great ride, man. So again, thank you for your example. So where can people follow you in your journey? How can people stay in touch?
Yeah, probably the best way to follow me and reach out to me as well is just on Instagram. That's at it's EJ Cruz. That's ITS. And then my name, EJ Cruz, EJAYCRUZ. I'm all over the place, but that's probably the best place to get in touch with me and find me. I love sharing my journey, because I feel like a lot of people can connect and relate to it. And if I could somehow influence or inspire someone, then I feel like I'm doing God's work. So again, if you want to find that, it's most likely probably on Instagram or maybe in person, you know what I'm saying? But yeah.
Find him on Instagram, shoot him a DM, because he's definitely sliding up in everybody else's DMs. And while you're there, schedule yourself a financial needs analysis session. Get your money right. With that, this is not going to be the last time we have EJ on the show. Very soon, Dustin and I were chatting and we realized, you know, we are starting to get a little bit of an audience here. And we've been running so hard with just trying to get solid people on the show. It finally occurred to us that, hey, all these new people listening don't know who the fuck we are. So we should probably break that down at some point. What if we got EJ to kind of do an episode where we flipped it around and he interviewed us so we can introduce ourselves officially to our own audience? So be on the lookout for that. But in the meantime, appreciate you all listening in. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, leave a review. We are trying to hit a up and comers list right now, and every review definitely helps. So thank you to those who have already done that.
Share it out with a friend.
Share it with a friend. Yes, share it with two friends. But until next time, I'm your host, Eugene Tamampos. My co-host here, Dustin Reyna, signing off. Y'all take these lessons you learned, go out there and take some action, and we will catch you on the next one.
Peace. Hey.